Our daughter has a fig tree. She lives here in New Brunswick, in Nugukta, or as some of us know it, Tobik. And the tree produced figs last summer, growing in a large pot on her deck. Unfortunately, it had to spend the winter indoors, and along with needing to tend it, she and her partner had to isolate it from their five cats. Apparently, the plant and the fruit of fig trees are toxic to cats. What started as a lovely patio tree that was a source of shade, conversation, and even the excitement of producing figs in northern New Brunswick became a cause for much worry. Only patience and mercy have kept it alive. But the thought of having that plant in the sunroom or on the deck this summer seems to be worth the work. Everyone must be vigilant and keep the cats away from the fig. Although it could be considered a grave error to bring a fig tree to a house full of cats, my daughter may be regretting that decision. Keeping it doesn't mean that her cats are being punished for sins or misdeeds that they've been guilty of at one time or another. Jesus had that message for the people in today's scripture. He tells them that Pilate's massacre of the Galileans was not as an act of God to punish them for great sin. He also says that the 18 people in Jerusalem who died when a tower collapsed without warning did not die because of their sins. By extension, then, this means that the folks in Texas who have struggled in recent weeks were not the victims of snowstorms and freezing temperatures because they voted for or did not vote for Donald Trump. God isn't punishing us for our sins by bringing COVID-19 into the world. God did not decide that Tampa Bay and Tom Brady were going to win Super Bowl 54, regardless of what you might have heard on the field after the game. It was not God's decision to keep people of color from winning Oscar nominations. Nor does God ensure that a woman or a girl is murdered every 2.5 days in Canada. Jesus would tell us that none of those things are brought on because we need to be punished for our sins or rewarded for not sinning. God doesn't work that way. If our world is a mess, and it is, if people do bad things, and bad things happen to people, it isn't because God is punishing us. And yet Jesus says, unless you repent, you will perish as they did. This is a warning, not a threat, but it is a warning that unless we change the way we do things, we will die to life in God's kingdom. The fig tree in the parable Jesus tells was not producing. And although the owner agreed to give it one more year to start producing, things had to change. It would not produce if special care was not given, and it would need to be cut down. It needed different care and more care. We could be like the fig tree. Perhaps we're not producing what we should be. Perhaps we need to look at how we do things and decide if we need to change. We're still standing, but we can't be sure we're bearing the right fruit. Maybe our fruit is toxic to people as well as cats. Maybe our fruit is okay, but we're meant to help with other trees that are not bearing or are bearing toxic fruit. Those folks that have been written off, those that are described as hopeless because they don't appear to get things right, they may need help. Maybe we're meant to be the gardeners for those who need some extra attention. The fruit will be easy to recognize when we have it. Peace, love, and justice are the things that Jesus has told us God wants in the world. That is the fruit that we need to be trying to produce and to help others produce. Let's go back for a moment to that road in Jerusalem, to Jesus and the disciples walking toward what Jesus knows will be his death. Jesus is healing and teaching people along the road and refuses to turn back to safety. His lament for Jerusalem gives us the image of the hen with her chickens. Jesus, in a pain-filled statement, clearly exemplifies the concept of consent, that concept that's at the core I've been involved in for many years towards working towards ending gendered violence. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. He could not gather the people of Jerusalem without their permission. So much more of what he has said aligns with and provides us guidance on peace, love, and justice through parables and through teaching. The picture I chose to go with this message is the one of the brown hen holding and protecting a dark gray pigeon under each wing. I discovered many stories of hens adopting motherless birds and animals, including kittens and puppies, and many more stories where hens gave their lives in fires and floods to save their broods under their wings. Reverend Bruce Prewer of Australia said of this passage, "There's hardly a more feminine picture of Jesus available in the gospel. The vivid picture of a clucky hen rounding up her chickens and fluffing her feathers protectively over them shows the compassion of the Jesus whom we name Lord and Savior." The Reverend Prewer might want to say, to leave out the word feminine now, but we still have the picture of the compassion of the Jesus who we name Lord and Savior. Reflecting that compassion in all that we do may be the repenting we are called to. It certainly will be what we need when trying harder at getting fruit to bear for ourselves and for others. We have the opportunities and we have the support and guidance that we need to do things differently and stir things up. Repenting may be mostly about recognizing the support, taking chances, and looking for where the need is. We can always use this time of Lent to be a little more reactive along with our reflections. Amen.